Thanks, Jason, and thanks for that opening. And again, good morning. You are awake. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father in heaven, as we're here this morning, we just want to thank you for this wonderful privilege to be together, to sing praises and worship to your name, and just to rejoice in the truths of your word and what you've done for us and what you're doing in us and through us. And Heavenly Father, as we're here this morning, again, we just pray that your spirit would work among us and challenge us where we need challenging, convict us where we need convicting, guide us where we need guiding. We ask for your blessing here this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, as I normally give a message that I would speak a title, I gave this one a title as well. And when I think of this title, I just breathe a sigh of peace, I guess you might say. The title is Strength, Strength for the Christian Life. Strength for the Christian Life. What is that? What is strength for the Christian life? I want to look at four different areas in that. And a lot of us know these things, but I was really challenged the last 3 months. I've been looking at this and thinking about this and really been challenged with it. You know, strength from God for the Christian life is there for the Christian. It's there. He's given it. He provides it. We need it. And yet so often I don't avail myself of it. Are you with me on that? Do you find that in your life too? Maybe you do. I don't know. But I often don't avail myself of it. And it's there. And so we want to look at four different areas about strength for the Christian life. First of all, where does my strength come from? Where does that strength come from? What is the Lord's desire? This is number two. What is the Lord's desire concerning his strength for my life? What does the Lord desire concerning his strength for my life? Thirdly, how do I avail myself of his strength? Okay, we know maybe where it comes from and what he wants, but how do I actually avail myself of that strength? And fourthly, what's it look like in my life? Okay, if I avail myself of it, what's it look like? So there's a lot of different areas we want to just kind of go through and look at here and think about strength. What's it mean? What's that word mean? Well, it's translated or it comes out in different ways or different forms, but I'll just mention a few of them what it is here. A lot of times in the New Testament, it comes out with the thought of miraculous power, mighty work, to empower, to increase in vigor, to enable, steadfastly set or strengthen, the ability or power. So we see the idea there of power and ability to do something that you don't have the power to do. It's a mighty, it's miraculous, it's from above. It's also used or translated many times in the Old Testament, strength. And the idea a lot of times in the Old Testament is to fasten upon or to force, to fortify, vigor, rock or refuge. And we have that idea in the Old Testament a lot of the times. And strength for believers is not a new thing. It's not a new thing. We need it since the cross. But even as you look back into the Old Testament, believers in the Old Testament needed strength from God. And they looked to God for strength and asked him for it, to live for him. It's not a new thing. We see it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's not just a physical thing. Often we think of strength as that person is strong. It's a physical brute force that they have. But that is not what we're talking about here. Although it might come out in physical form, it's the inner man that I want to talk about this morning. That inner man that would be strengthened in Christ for victory in the Christian life as temptations and things come along our way, that we have victory to overcome those things, but also in service, as we serve him. We need strength for that too. To do it on our own power does not work. We need his help. And sadly, I wrote down here, we often don't avail ourselves of that strength or power. And it's sad. And I'm just looking at myself here. You know me somewhat, quite a bit actually, and you know my failures. You know. And we know each other and how often we don't avail ourselves of that strength. And we can actually believe a lie or lies. And you might think, come on with you. I don't believe lies. But often we do believe lies. And I'll give you some examples of lies we might believe subtly. Not just out and out believing, I believe a lie. But just subtle things that go on in our lives that uh, make it so we can't access that strength. We believe a lie. We believe a wrong thing. And let me just give some examples here. For example, anger. Anger in itself can come. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But we can believe the lie that, well, that person has crossed my path, and I am going to be angry at them. I'm going to tell them that I'm angry at them, and I'm going to display it in a fleshly way. So the anger can come out in our flesh, in our own strength, in a wrong way. When we look to the Lord for power, we can believe that lie and think, I'm doing the right thing. I can justify it. They deserved every last bit of that. They should have had more, actually. We could come with that attitude. But that's not the right attitude. That's a fleshly attitude. When we look to the Lord for strength and help, the Spirit of God works in our hearts and says, what kind of grace are you showing to that brother or sister? Are you gracious with them? Yeah, you're upset. But how are you going to deal with that? And so we look to the Lord for strength in handling that problem. But we can believe a lie and walk in the flesh. Another one might be worry. Now, many of you probably don't worry here. But we can worry. We can see things coming at us and situations in our lives. And we can worry. We can be awake at night worrying. And worry and think, boy, oh boy, I got to do this, I got to do that. And it's not wrong to do things. But we can justify and say, well, look at the situation. Man, I can worry all night long. But that's in our flesh. We can go and trust the Lord. And that's easy to say, but Lord, I want to trust you in this. I'll change what I can change, but there's things out of my control I cannot change. And I'm going to trust you for that. And walk in faith with you. And so we see the difference between the flesh and the power from above. Another example might be bitterness. We've been wronged a number of times. And wronged again. And wronged again. And finally we just become bitter. And say, you know what? I just hate that person. I just don't want to do anything with them. Just bitter. And we can justify it in the flesh and say, well, I feel that way because I should feel that way. That's the way I've been handled or mistreated. And in the flesh, we can justify that and believe that lie and lack strength for the Christian walk. We're walking in the flesh. But the Lord would have us forgive and forgive and forgive and look to Him for strength in that. Another one I'll mention here is addictions. Addictions. And they can come in various forms. And yet we can justify those addictions, whatever they might be, and say, well, maybe it's my spouse not meeting my needs. Maybe it's other things in my life that say, you know what? I have so much sorrow here, I can take the addiction of alcohol. And I can drink alcohol just to bury my addictions. And that's, we can justify it, in a sense, in our flesh. Walking in our own strength. But that is not what the Lord has for the Christian. He wants us to be overcomers, to be victorious. He gives us the power to overcome those things and to find our fullness and our strength in Him. It's possible. And yet often, if we think about it, we believe lies. Where does our strength come from? Well, let me first of all say two places or three places where our strength does not come from. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 7, I have a number of verses down here. We'll refer to some of them. We'll turn to some of them. But Romans chapter 7 is going to be the first place where our strength does not come from for the Christian life. And this is where our default always goes to. Is the flesh. It goes to that flesh all the time. It seems to go to the flesh, and we respond in the flesh, and that is not how we live the Christian life. We cannot do it in the flesh. Romans 7 and verse 18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." In Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, we see the same idea. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So, strength for the Christian life does not come from the flesh. As I said before, that's kind of at least my default. That's where if I'm not walking in the Spirit, that's what's there. And we have to realize, no, strength for the Christian life does not come from personal strength, the flesh. There is no good thing that dwells in our flesh. It does not come from human help. And I want to turn back to Psalm 147, verse 10 for that. Although humans can help us, our brothers and sisters in Christ can help us in our Christian walk, and they're important. We're part of a body. We work together. We minister one to another. That is not where we look for our strength. Psalm 147 and verse 10. an interesting verse. As you read it, you kind of, in the King James Version anyways, you kind of giggle about it. He says, He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. And the idea of the legs of a man is in human strength and man's strength. That's not what the Lord takes pleasure in. And we, that is not what we should look to. Again, the flesh. It is not what the Lord has for us for strength for the Christian life, to look to men and the legs of men to help me. Although we look to our brothers and sisters for encouragement and minister one to another, that is not the source. And thirdly, not in things. Psalm 33. Let's turn there if you would. Verse 16 and 17. Psalm 33. And even though the verses from the Psalms here, the Old Testament believers, I think the principles still apply. Psalm 33, verse 16 and 17. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he be delivered any by his great strength. And so here the psalmist is saying it's not the king, it's not his smarts, it's not the multitude of his horses, it's not those things that delivers him, it's the Lord. And so he's saying, don't put your strength, your confidence in those things. And often we can do that. We can put it, well, I got my bank account here, and I got this here, and I got that in place, and we put our confidence in those things. That is not where the strength comes for the Christian life. Well, where does it come from? Psalm 121, I want to refer to a few verses in the Psalms here and then into the New Testament. Psalm 121, the Old Testament believers said, I look unto the hills, where does my help come from? And he says in verse 2, my help, my strength comes from the Lord, the Creator. In Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, and this one you'll know by heart, I'm sure, as I say it, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice how in these verses it's personal. My help comes from the Lord. God is our refuge and strength. In Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So these Old Testament believers realized their strength was coming from God, from the Lord Himself. Psalm 73, verse 26, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. And there they found their satisfaction, their fulfillment in the Lord Himself. Let's turn to the New Testament for us as well. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse we'll start at verse 19. We should probably go back to verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1. Here we see this strength, this power, this help for the Christian. Verse 18, we will go there just to get the thought here. This is his prayer for believers, Paul's prayer for the Ephesian Christians. So he's praying that they would understand this, they grasp this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. So that's important. He says, I'm praying that you might know this, understand it and grasp it. What is the hope of his calling? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Now, I try to get my mind around that, and I'm still trying to get my mind around those thoughts there. His inheritance in the saints. And then he says, and that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So he's saying, I hope you grasp this. I'm praying that you'll grasp this, that you'll grasp what that power is to those who believe. And he says, where's that power come from? What is that power? Well, verse 20 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. He's saying that power that raised Christ from the dead, that same resurrection power, is available to you and me as believers. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. And yet, I often neglect it. But it's there. And as you think of the Christian life, we come to faith in Christ, and he gives us life. If we were to turn to chapter 2 in Ephesians, it says that, and you hath he quickened, hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We see that resurrection power at work. We were dead in trespasses and sins. No life, no ability to help ourselves. And yet he, by resurrection power, has given us life to live for him. Life from above. Not only does he give us life when we're saved, but he gives us power and life day by day. Sometimes we have the thinking that, well, we say a prayer and we're saved and that's that. The Christian life is not just a prayer. It is a resting in what God has done for us. And day by day, he wants to empower us to live for him in different ways that would come through in our lives. Now, yeah, that's easy to say up here. I know what it's like when you get out in the workforce and out in the world. I know what it's like. I'm right there with you. And so often we divert back to the flesh. But the Lord wants to give us power to live for him and live in victory. And this is more of a challenge to me than you, this message, but it's a challenge nonetheless. Interesting enough, we think back of how we've been brought from death to life and how he gives us strength to live each day. Romans 5 and verse 6 says that when we were still dead in trespasses and sins, it says, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible refers to us in our unregenerate state as without strength. We cannot please God. Our source of strength comes from God. And it's resurrection power. It's not that it's lacking in strength. It's according to his riches and glory. It's there. It's just that we need to avail ourselves of that. Acts 1 verse 8, as Jesus had risen from the dead and was walking with some of his own, they said, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this time? He says, it's not for you to know the times and seasons of that, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power from on high to be my witnesses. And the idea of the Holy Spirit coming upon them and giving them that power to live for him. And the Holy Spirit plays an important part in this strength. As we walk in fellowship with God, the Spirit of God strengthens us and shows us the things of Christ and gives us that power to live for him. What is the source of our strength? Our source of our strength is from the Lord. And may we not forget that, and may we remember, Lord, I need your help because I cannot live this life. It's clear. In the flesh, I can't do it. I can't please you. I'm just going to read a little quote here that I was encouraged with back in early March here. It says here, sometimes we may feel that all of the demands of life have depleted our strength and there is no one to replenish it. Do you ever feel that way? Sometimes the demands of life can just deplete our strength and there's no one there to replenish it. It goes on to say, but others don't feed our souls. God does. And we need to look to the Lord, not to others to replenish our strength. We need to look to the Lord and fellowship with him. That was an encouragement to me. As I've went through this study the last couple of months, I think almost every day we're saying, here's another verse. Here's another verse. Here's another verse. Here's another verse. It was almost daily we were coming up with verses about strength that God provides for the Christian. It was a real encouragement to me. And I just share that with you for your encouragement as well. As you read the scriptures, just look for those things and say, wow, there it is. There it is. There it is. And rest in it. So our strength comes from the Lord. I think we all knew that. I think. But be reminded of it. That's where our strength comes from. And maybe you're here this morning. I don't know if you're here this morning. You're outside of Christ. You cannot please him. You're outside. You're an enemy. He's died for you and was buried and rose again to give you strength and life. And might you rest in that today. And us as believers, may we rest in it day by day, his strength. Okay, where does our strength come from? Our strength comes from the Lord. What is the Lord's desire concerning his strength for my life? So our strength comes from him, but what does he desire for us? Let's look at a few verses here. In Ephesians 6, you're right there. Let's turn there. Ephesians 6, 10. Speaking of Christian warfare and just the battle that we do face as believers, we are in a spiritual warfare. He says in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, Be strong. There it is. Be strong. Get your strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What's the Lord's desire concerning his strength for our life? That we would be strong in him, that we would rest in it, rely on him. And as it goes on through Ephesians 6, tremendous verses about that armor that we put on and look to him in that. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, that thought of strength, love, and sound mind. That's what he desires for us. He desires that we live in strength, in his strength. He doesn't desire that we live in our flesh. He desires that we live in his strength. Ephesians 4:13, as Paul went through, whether it's abounding or with little or lots or whatever it might be, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He realized that even if he had lots or little, or whatever it might be, he can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Ephesians 1, we just read 18 to 20 there, that we would know that strength. So I think the thought here that I want to get across is that the Lord's desire concerning his strength in my life is that we would actually avail ourselves of it. We would know it and walk in it and not walk in our flesh. Thinking back to the Old Testament, we think of Joshua, that Old Testament believer, and how as he took over from Moses there, and how he was, the challenges and the things that were before him, huge, huge obstacles. The Lord encouraged him and said, be strong and courageous. And he said, be strong and very courageous. Don't let my words depart from you. Be strong, be strong, be strong, be courageous. Why? Because I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be with you. And he encouraged him in that. I'm with you. Be strong in me. And may we remember that as well. So we looked at, where does our strength come from? What does the Lord desire concerning his strength in my life? Now, how can I avail myself of his strength? Sometimes we can get all this theory, these doctrinal things, and we think, yeah, that's good. But man, you don't know where I live. You don't know where I'm at in my life. You don't know the things I face. How do I avail myself of this power and not walk in the flesh? Because so often I find myself going to the flesh. I wrote down three things I think can be a real help. And I'm not saying it's an exhaustive list, but there's three things here I think are very important as we look to avail ourselves of this strength in living the Christian life. Number one is to acknowledge our weakness. So often our pride can be in the way and think, well, that's something I can do. I can handle that one, no problem. I'm pretty good at that, actually. And we have our pride, our natural abilities, and we think, well, I'll just do it. I think the important thing, one of the first important things to avail ourselves of his strength is to acknowledge our weakness. We see this in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. Let's turn there for a moment. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. And this is the concerning Paul and the thorn in the flesh that he was given. And he came to realize that God's strength in his life was made perfect or brought out when he was weak. When I'm weak, when I realize my weakness is that I cannot do this to please God in my strength, in my own flesh, when he realized that and relied on the Christ's power shone through him. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 is where we'll start. And he says here, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, that I should be, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, for this thing, I besought the Lord three times or thrice, that it might depart from me. So his desire was, Lord, I want this to be gone. I want it to be gone, but I'm resting you. You've got a purpose here for it. And the Lord's reply to him was in verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul's response was, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, that it might work through me. Therefore, he says, because of this, I take pleasure in infirmities. So he's referring back to that thorn in the flesh. And then it struck me when I read this, he carried on. It wasn't that, well, I take pleasure in infirmities, and left at that, I take pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I really believe that one of the first steps we need to take as individuals in our Christian walk is to acknowledge our weakness. Lord, I need your help. And I'm looking to you to work through me. And that your power, that often it's translated dunamis, that dynamite would come through me. That's an important part of availing myself of his strength. It's there. We have to recognize our weakness. Secondly, I wrote down here, read his word and claim his promises. Now, we know that, don't we? But do we do it? Read his word, claim his promises. As we look to the Lord for strength, we can find it in his word and in his promises. I have a number of things I wrote down here just for different areas that we face, some negative, some positive, and a lot of different verses along with them. But I'll just refer to them very briefly. When we're faced with temptations, and we all face temptations, when we're faced with them, we need strength to overcome them. We could say, I'm going to tackle that in my flesh. I'm just going to tackle that. But that is not how the Christian goes through life, or should go through life. It should be, Lord, I need your help in this temptation. Help me. And as we read his word and claim those promises, we can overcome those temptations. I wrote down a verse here for this thought in 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'll just turn to it briefly and refer to it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So that would be an example of, okay, Lord, I'm weak. I need your strength. I'm reading your word. I'm going to claim your promise. You've promised this, that there's not going to be a temptation I can't overcome. You're going to provide a way of escape, and I'm going to claim your promise. And you can go on through different verses that you read it. And I think it's good if you're facing some temptations and you're reading, start writing them down. Start writing them down. And if you want to, post them on the wall. And as you pray, look at them. Lord, I'm claiming that promise. I'm trusting you for it, Lord. I know that you will give me that strength to overcome that. There's other ones I've written down here. Overcoming unfairness. Overcoming impatience. That's probably something I deal with a lot, is impatience. Things come up, and my parents would know this. Like, they would know how impatient as a kid I was. Just impatient and obnoxious, maybe almost. How the Lord is changing my life. And I'm not perfect. I am not perfect. My kids would tell you that. But how we need to claim God's promises for patience. And we see that in these verses, Colossians 1. We'll just turn there for briefly. Just the thought of how when that strength comes, there's also this help in these areas. Colossians 1 and verse 11. This is, again, a prayer for the Christians there, that they would be strengthened with might. There's a word there, that power. He's praying for that according to his glorious power. So it's according to the Lord's power. Unto what? All patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And that's verse 11 of Colossians chapter 1. And then giving thanks unto the Father. So there we see, as we look to the Lord for strength, and we see these things, and we read his word and claim his promises, say, Lord, you will give the strength. You can provide it. It's not like I'm asking for something that you don't want me to have. It's there. And so reading his word and then claiming his promises. In the positive sense, sometimes we can think, oh, how can I serve the Lord? Look at my past. Look at that. I've just been a failure upon failure. Even this week, man alive, I failed different times. Oh, man, I lost it in the barn there with that cow. That wasn't right. That was walking in the flesh. How can I do this? And yet we forget God's promises in his word. And Romans 5 tells us how we've been justified, how as we confess those sins, we're forgiven of them. And so often we can cling to them and not let them go. and realize, Lord, you have forgiven them. You've freed me of them. I was wrong. I confess it. You've forgiven. Thank you, Lord. And so often we can be trapped in a cage, in a prison of our past mistakes, and not have that freedom to serve and to walk in strength, His strength. We want to beat ourselves up, and yet we need to read His word. Claim His promises. Lord, there it is. I was wrong. I confess it. Hallelujah, you've forgiven me. Help me to walk in your strength now as I go on here and repent of that sin. And not to be trapped in the prison of our past mistakes. I've heard a song that our kids listen to a little bit about, talking about how we're like a lion who can't roar, or an eagle who is not able to soar because we're just trapped. And it's because we're not reading His word and claiming His promises that we can be free of those things. That guilt and shame. And I think it's a very important part to read His word and claim His promises if we want to avail ourselves of His strength. I refer to the verse in Colossians 1, 10 and 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from every evil. And the word "establish" would be strengthen you. He would give you that power to keep you from all evil. It's there. So we have acknowledging our weakness, read His word and claim His promises, and thirdly, walking in the Spirit. And that's part of all this tying together. But walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Submitting to His authority and ways. And really put in brackets, obedience. So when we think of walking in the Spirit, we are submitting to His authority and His ways. That's like claiming His promises. This is really the idea of obedience. So it's kind of linked together. Although I put in another category here. In Ephesians 3 and verse 16, I will read that verse for you. And again, speaks of strength. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Again, Paul's prayer here for them. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The thought here of just walking in His strength, walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5 would bring that out very clearly as well, that we would walk in His Spirit, not in the flesh. That Christ, and it goes on to say that Christ would dwell in your hearts. And that the thought here of just that Christ would be at home in your hearts. So as we submit to His strength, submit to His Spirit, as we walk in His word and in the Spirit, Christ is dwelling in our hearts. It's not that He leaves, but the thought here is the idea of when you dwell at home, you're at home. You are relaxed. You're there. It's not like there's barriers there. You're dwelling there. You're at peace there. And that His prayer for them that Christ would dwell there. He'd be at home in their hearts. And it's the sum of all this, these thoughts here of acknowledging our weakness and reading His word and claiming His promises and obedience. The sum of all that is, if we want to avail ourselves of His strength, we need to turn to the Lord and fellowship with Him. That's where it comes from. That's what He wants for us. And we need to be in that fellowship with Him. And something that helps me, and I believe it is scriptural too, is singing. In the thought of walking in fellowship with the Lord, to sing. And maybe that's the way I'm wired, because I just like singing. But as I go through the day, I can have songs in my mind about the Lord. And I think that's a good thing, because then as we go through our day, we can be singing about His greatness, the work that He's done, the things that He has for us in life, and His presence with us, and so many more things. And as we sing through the day, I think that's part of walking with the Lord. We're just rejoicing in Him and fellowshipping with Him. And those songs, I find, bring truths of Scripture into my heart and mind that I can meditate on. And that's part of walking with the Lord and walking in the Spirit. And to me, it is a great help. So I encourage you in that. And also memorizing Scripture. That is such a blessing to have that there. And I encourage you to do that. And just a little plug for Bible memorization. That takes discipline. I know that. And as we get older, it gets harder. I know that. As we get older, our life gets busier, it seems. I always thought it would get less busy, but it gets busier. But if you could just take, instead of taking seven verses, take one verse a week and just write on a piece of paper, put it in your pocket, and as you're going through the day, you might be in the house and, oh, what was that verse again? You look at it. Hey, that's a blessing. Now I'm going to put that to memory. Try to think about that. Put it back in again. And just take a verse a week. Just a verse. Doesn't have to be a verse a day. Just a verse a week. You can do 7 a week if you want. All the better. But just take a verse and keep thinking about it and memorizing it. It can be a great help. And so that's kind of an encouragement in my heart to just write out a verse, put it in my pocket. Hey, that's a truth I really appreciate and I want to memorize it and claim it. Put it in your pocket, wherever it might be, in your hat, whatever, I don't know, and just take it with you and think about it. So, how can I avail myself of his strength? Really, the sum of it is walking in fellowship with the Lord. Acknowledge your weakness, read his word and claim his promises, and walk in the Spirit. Lastly, okay, so we know our strength comes from the Lord. We know the Lord wants us to avail ourselves of that strength and how we can do that. What's it look like? How does it come out in my life? What do we see? What's it look like? And the main thing I wrote down here is fruit of the Spirit. As God works in our life, you start to see the fruit of the Spirit come out. And as things come our way, we don't default to the flesh. We might be wronged, and all of a sudden, grace comes out. Or patience comes out. Kindness comes out. The fruit of the Spirit starts to come out of our life. Especially when often we know the example of a glass of water or something, and when it's dumped, it's what's in there comes out, right? So if what's in that water cup is milk, it's a milk cup, and it, out it comes. If it's juice, out it comes. If it's the flesh, out it comes. And if we're walking in the Spirit of God can display itself and come out. I have a few verses I want to just look at briefly here. Hebrews 13, 20 to 21 talks there about how he fully equips, provides for us in every good work to do his will. That's how it comes out as we do his will. He is the one that fully equips us to do that and provides for that. It uses a different word there. I'll just look it up here. My mind's blank of what word it uses, but Hebrews 13:21 is make you perfect. That's the word he uses. Make you perfect in every good work. In other words, he equips us for every good work. That's how it comes out. As we do his work, as we use the gifts that he's given us, it's him that is equipping us and using us. And it comes out in the fruit of the Spirit. Thinking back to the Old Testament, in Nehemiah 8, verse 10, it talks there about how he reminded the people that as they had built the wall, they had heard from God's word, they were sorrowful, they were repentant of what had gone on. They had come out of captivity, and so many things had happened. As they heard God's word, they were sorrowful. Nehemiah and Ezra said to him, today is not a day for crying. Today is a holy day. Today is a day of joy. To look at what God has done and what he's doing. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. And today we must rejoice. He says to him, now today you go and you eat, you share food with others, and may the joy of the Lord be your strength today. And look to the Lord for that strength because of what he's done today. And we see that in the New Testament as well. In Colossians 1, I did read that passage. I'm going to read it again. Colossians 1 and verse 11. It talked about how we strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And there we have the idea of even joyfulness and patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's hard. That's hard. We can't do it. That's why it's hard. We need his help. And yet he provides it for us. Again, for Ephesians 3:16, that we be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And we recognize God's help and encouragement in our lives. What's the goal? What's the goal of all this? As we find strength for the Christian life in the Lord, what's the goal? Really, it's for his glory. That's what it boils out to. And in 1 Peter, it brings out so clearly. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And perhaps this week as you're reading the word, you'll see a number of verses that, hey, there it is, there it is. It's talking about strength for the Christian. 1 Peter 5, verse 9 and 10. Whom resist steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who's called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. There's the thought. Make you perfect. That's make you strong. Establish. There it is again. Strengthen. Settle you. And then he says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Strength for the Christian life isn't so that we can say, well, look what I've done. Look who I am. It's not that. It is to point to the Lord. This is God. This is him working. And he gets the glory. And may that be the challenge to us as we live for him. That we wouldn't revert back to the flesh. But we would say, Lord, this is your working. You're one, the one that's displaying those fruits through me. You're the one who's gifted. You, all of us. He's the one. He's the one that enables us. He's the one that gives us a gift. He's the one that helps us. And yet, so often we don't look there. We look to ourselves. May the Lord help us to look to him for strength. And may he challenge us and encourage us in our walk with him day by day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the help that you have promised in your word for the believer. We would be useless without it. So Lord, just pray that you would remind us day by day and week by week that we need your help. And may we look to you for it. And may we allow you in obedience to work through our lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Speak to us this morning, each one of us, myself included. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And may your joy be our strength this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.